Hallelujah. The Lord put on my heart to talk about us being the army of the Lord and the powerful. His power is in us, and we are powerful because we are part of His army. And Peter's going to put up a video clip of the song, The Blood-Bought Church. So we're going to look at that, and then I'll go into the Word. And no stronghold can stand before us. And this song is real special to me. A number of years back, Calvin and a group of guys, Reuben was with them, was down putting a roof on a church in Navajoa. And I got up that morning and I just like a battle cry came out of me. And I just began to sing from my spirit, there is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force, with a shout of praise and a two-edged sword. And that song just flowed out of me like a force, like a mighty current river. I sing it and sing it and sing it all day from my spirit. Man, I couldn't help it. And then I found out later that morning when I started to sing that song, Calvin had been on a roof and a board broke and he fell a long ways on cement, hit a sewing machine coming down, but he really almost went to heaven that day. You know, he was that close to just going on to glory that day, but it wasn't God's time. And I believe God put that song in my heart, and I sing it like a weapon all day. It just came out of me like a force, and I didn't even know it that well, but it was just there. God gave it to me. And we are the church. We are the blood bought, the redeemed. Hallelujah. And we have the power of heaven behind us. Hallelujah. We have His Spirit, and it's powerful. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Revelation 19. We're going to read 11 through 16. Hallelujah. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And that's one of my favorite songs. Beautiful rider on the white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Jesus isn't the only one that's on a white horse. We're going to be on those white horses following behind him. Hallelujah. 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And we are on his side. We are in his army. We are with him. Hallelujah. There is going to be a judgment against the sin of this world, but we are part of the victorious church. We are his army, and we're going to be riding behind with him in all that he does. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 verse 11 also talks about the army of the Lord. It says the Lord gives voice before his army. Hallelujah. His camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. Hallelujah. We are that blood-bought church. We are, hallelujah, the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at other scriptures about us being part of the army. We're going to 1 Corinthians 6:12. And Paul is exhorting here, and he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, and to which you were also called, and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We do have to fight to stay in faith. Hallelujah. The devil is always there trying to tell us about our past and discourage us. You know, the world and the problems of this world are always all around us, trying to keep our attention and keep our thoughts on what's going on and all the problems. Hallelujah. So it takes faith. We have to fight to have the faith to look up and keep our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. It is a fight. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. But faith looks up. Hallelujah. It's important to know the power of our weapons. We're going to 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." You know, we're living here, but we don't fight in our own selves or in our flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." God has given us weapons that we're going to be looking at today that are mighty against the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," talking of Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb." It's important to know that there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember when they did the Passover, back when they were, the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land and start their journey. A death angel came over the land, and they had taken blood and put it over their doorpost. And the enemy could not touch them with death. He had to pass over because they were covered with the blood of the Lamb. And we are covered with the blood of the Lamb. And it's important that we use that blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. To overcome Satan. Hallelujah. There's power. And then it says, and by the word of their testimony. They overcame Satan by the word of their testimony. We know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it's important that we guard and speak forth words of life. Hallelujah. And it says the word of the testimony. It's important to give testimony of what God has done in your life, in my life, what he's done in the word. You know, give testimony. There's power in our word of testimony. Hallelujah. And it says, and they love not their life unto death. Oh, hallelujah. We are to be totally surrendered to the Lord, and we are to be just surrendered to him. Whatever may come, we're his. Hallelujah. If we are in a situation where our life is taken, you know, that's just the worst that somebody can do, is just send us on to heaven ahead of time. Hallelujah. And you know, how bad is that? So being surrendered to the Lord is so important. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. A good fight is a fight you win. You know, if you were in a fight and you won, you'd go off saying, "Oh, that was a good fight." But if you lost, you'd say, "Oh, that was just terrible." You know, you have a completely different opinion of it and look at it. But it says we fight the good fight, and a good fight is one we win. Hallelujah. As we enter into the battle, we need to be aware of our position of authority within God's kingdom. Going to Colossians 1:13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Hallelujah. The kingdom of darkness does have a power, but he has set us free. He's delivered us. And we're no longer in that kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom of God's power and in his anointing. Revelation 1:5-6. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." Hallelujah. God has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. He has given us authority. But Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's the high priest. And so we have authority, but under authority. God has given us authority, but we are always under his authority. In the military, you'll never have authority yourself until you prove your obedience to the authority above you. Then your level of authority will depend on your level of obedience to those over you. There's never been an officer get to his position without going through some things, without putting down his flesh and just going on and obeying whatever he, no matter what he wanted to do, he was obedient. His determination and obedience had to be tested and proved over and over again. In God's kingdom, our level of authority will never exceed our level of obedience. In God's kingdom, our level of authority will never exceed our level of obedience. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you're led, you're obedient. You're listening and you're doing. You know, you're following the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Hallelujah. You know, we need to examine ourselves. Is there sin there? Are we entangled with the world? Is there obedience? Is there perseverance? Do we value our own life more than we value the kingdom of God? That's a big question. What has preeminence, God's will or my will? What's in first place? Hallelujah. One job of a soldier is to be a watchman on the wall, to be alert. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Watchmen were put on the walls over city, watching over cities. But they also, when they had, they put watchmen to watch over their crops that they had sowed. And when it was almost time for the harvest, they put extra watchmen to watch after that crop. Because that was their livelihood. They needed that. They put watchmen to watch over it. Hallelujah. Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So God put man in the garden and then he said, okay, now you are to tend the garden and to keep it. They had a sphere of influence and it was the garden and they were to keep it. The word tend there in the Hebrew is adad. It means care for, work. In Rhema, they always taught the students, how do you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. So we are to work in the garden where God puts us, to serve. And this was a surprise to me when I found it, but it also, to tend it, means to worship. When we worship, we set the atmosphere right. We set the atmosphere right when we worship God. And then he said, to tend and keep it. Keep is shamar, which means to guard, to protect, to watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. Hallelujah. So we are to guard piece by piece as God finishes the process. How many of you are through? You know, you've arrived, you're there. We're in a process. We're all in a process of growing. And the people that we pray with, they are in a process. And part of our keeping the garden is to stay in faith, stay in prayer until the process is finished, until it's complete. That's our job. We each have a sphere of influence, our assignment that we need to guard. We need to keep the Satan out of our garden. Protect what belongs to you, your family, your church, your business, our town. Hallelujah. You know, our prayer team knows that God has called us to be watchmen over Douglas. It's a job. It's something we're called to do. It's our territory. Hallelujah. And we are to watch piece by piece by piece. We're to stay with it until we see the answer that we know and for God to do what he said he's going to do in this place. And it's our job to stay with it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. So we need to guard our hearts. That's one of the things we have to guard our hearts. Don't give any place within you to be a foothold for the devil that he can get in. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So we're to guard our heart. You know, like King David, every day he would just say, search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And so, you know, we live in a dirty world, and sometimes dirty things can get in our heart, and it's good to, you know, kick it out when it comes, when we see it. Good to have God to search our hearts. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So here they're saying, I am going to forgive lest Satan take advantage of me. So when we have unforgiveness in our heart, it gives the devil a foothold to take advantage of us or any other sin. Advantage means to have or hold a greater portion. If we have things in us that is foothold for the Satan, he can have advantage of us, or he can hold a greater portion of us. We must deal with the enemies that are within us or tormenting us. It may be a stronghold of unforgiveness, anger, lust, unbelief. You know, you could go on and on with the list of the ways that Satan can come into us. But it's important when we see something in us that's not supposed to be there that we just say, you unforgiveness, I command you to leave me. Anger, I command you to leave me. I am a child of God, and you have no right here. You have no place here. You have no authority in my life, and I'm speaking to you right now. Get out of here. And once in a while, you will be dealing with something that you can't get victory over in yourself. It's just like you keep wanting to forgive, or you keep wanting to, and it's like it's just hard and it's heavy and you just can't get it out. You need to call reinforcements in. When a soldier is facing an enemy that's bigger than him, what does he do? He calls in reinforcements. He says, hey, I need some help here. And that's what we are in the body of Christ. When someone's facing things they can't overcome, they need to call in reinforcements. Find somebody to pray with you, to share the word with you, you know, to help strengthen you so that you get the victory over that thing. Hallelujah. That's good sense. Ephesians 6:10-12, and then we'll go down to verse 18. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Does it say to be strong in ourselves? To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, trust in him. Draw on his power within you. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's a whole nother sermon. But verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle isn't with people. But we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then going down to verse 18, it says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to be alert and watching. That's part of our, we're soldiers in the army of God, and we need to be alert and aware and awake. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, watching, pay attention. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan has a strategy to oppose your advancement, because your advancement means his defeat. When you're advancing in the kingdom of God, that means defeat to the devil. So he wants to oppose your advancement. Satan has a strategy to use unbelief to make your spirit numb. Faith quickens, makes alive, it's active. Faith touches the unseen power of heaven. Unbelief shuts you down. It separates you from the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Satan has a strategy to use rejection and abandonment to make you feel alone. We are created to function as a body. And our health depends, spiritual health depends on being connected and functioning with others. You know, Satan has a strategy to separate people from fellowship, because they're just open to the attacks of Satan a lot more if they're out on their own. We need together. We need to be together. We need to be where spiritual food's flowing. The Spirit is flowing. Hallelujah. Satan also has a strategy to use betrayal to overwhelm you. When you're overwhelmed, you move from a state of advancement to a state of resignation and retreat. And so this is what Satan wants to do to all people. Because when we're advancing in the kingdom, he loses. So he doesn't want to lose, so he is against us. Protection from the attacks of the enemy are not automatic. God's plan is to alert us to Satan's tactics. So we must be alert, watchful. If we're not alert and watching, Satan can take advantage of us. He can get the biggest portion. It's important to stay alert. To stay alert, to stay ready, to stay listening to the Lord. Watchmen would sound the alarm when they see someone coming, and that would be a foe or a friend or an enemy. We're going to read 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 27. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There's another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaas, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and comes with good news." Watchmen are supposed to watch for the good as well as for the evil. It's important to know what's happening in the spirit. What's God cooking up? What's flowing here? What's going on? What is God wanting to do here? It's good to know. See it in the spirit ahead of time. So that if a wave of the spirit's coming, that we'll be there ready to catch that wave and flow with it. Hallelujah. It's good to see. And a lot of times people see angels. When the IHOP team, the prayer team from the International House of Worship were here in January, they said that they saw angels on all the hills and mountains surrounding Douglas dancing, just dancing and happy. We've won some victories in the spiritual realm, and we are going to see it in the natural realm, the deliverance. Hallelujah. But it's good not only to watch for enemies coming, but to watch what's God doing. What's he doing? What's he wanting to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Watchmen, recognize, discern, pay attention, and listen. They are aware, alert, awake, and sober. Ephesians 5:18 tells us a command. It said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Getting drunk dulls your senses, while being filled with the Spirit helps us to see and know and be alert. Mark 14:38, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to not fall asleep on the job. We need to shake off the days. We need to shake off the cloudiness. You know, sometimes we just get on autopilot, and we just go, you know, and we get a haze around us, and, you know, we just aren't alert and aware. We're just kind of going along. Shake it off. Shake it off. Wake up. Pay attention. Connect with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 4:7 tells us, and this is something everybody knows, therefore submit to God. Our victory over the enemy is directly dependent on our submission to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee. That word resist in the Greek means apply pressure against, exercise. The more you resist, the stronger you get. We need to possess the land. This dispensation right now, in this time, the earth is in a battleground between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he gained back the legal right to govern the earth that Adam lost control of. Hallelujah. Jesus ended up gaining the victory, and he was seated above all principality and all power. Colossians 2:15, and I'm going to read this one in the Amplified. It said, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus won the battle. He won the victory. But then when he left the earth, he delegated that authority to his sons. We're going to read Luke 10:19. Okay, it said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, or we could say demons and devils, and over all. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. What does all mean? All. Hallelujah. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. He gave us, the church, all power over the devil. Ephesians 1:20-23. This is kind of one of the scriptures we read almost every time we come together, but it's so good. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. 21, far above. Everybody say far above.
Far above.
All.
All.
principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. And then down a few verses in Ephesians 2:6, it says, and he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Was this past tense? No. He has raised us up. When we're born again, we're there with him in that place of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we fully win the battle in the spirit realm, we need to come to an understanding that Jesus already won the legal ownership of all the earth with his own blood on the cross. Ever since the cross settled that matter, the devil has been setting illegally on God's property. Jesus can now rightfully and legally claim ownership. However, now as his ambassadors on this earth, we need to take the territory Satan has control of away from him. We are now God's representatives on this earth, and we have the legal right to take it back. I believe since its almost start, Douglas has been under the authority of Satan. There's been a lot of evil in this place, and it's our job as the body of Christ to take it back. He has no authority here. You know, we declare all the time, Jesus is Lord over Douglas. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? That's God's heart. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to loose the bonds of wickedness. He wants to undo heavy burdens. He wants the oppressed to go free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to break every yoke of bondage on people. That's his heart. When we win the battle in the spirit realm, we'll see great breakthrough. Many bound people are released from Satan's captivity so that they're free to turn to the Lord, and a great harvest can be reached. Just a while back, I was teaching a series on revival, and every major revival, when thousands came to Christ and were set free, the church had gone through a time of praying. They won the battle in the spirit. They took down the power of Satan, so people were free. You know, people would come to the Lord right now if they were free, but they're bound. And our job as a church, as his sons, is to pray that that power of Satan over their lives be broken. Amen. Zechariah 4:6-7. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then he turned, verse 7, he turned and said, who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And so when we're fighting in the Spirit of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Lord, we can look at whatever mountain is there in front of you, and we can say, who are you, great mountain? You shall be a plain before the presence of the Lord. You have to come down before the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to, in the story of Joshua crossing into the promised land and taking what the Lord had said belonged to them, is a wonderful example of us taking what is rightfully ours in the kingdom of God. We're going to read Joshua 1, verse 2 and 3, and then we're going down to verse 9. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Hallelujah. Down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. As you walk around Douglas, say, I put my feet down in the name of the Lord, and God's going to give us Douglas. God's going to give us this place. He's going to give us this land. Hallelujah. Speak scriptures over. Speak the word of God over it. Hallelujah. And he will give us the land. Amen. They didn't take the entire land all at once. They took city by city according to the instruction of the Lord. And God gave them a different instruction in every battle. He'd give them a different command and a different instruction. That's why it's important. God, how do you want to handle this? What are we to do here? And to move forward with the instruction of the Lord. And when we move forward with the instruction of the Lord, the victory is sure. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 18:18 through 19. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 18 in the Rue translation. Here's a part of the believer's inheritance. Are you a believer?
Yes.
This is part of your inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I will forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. We are to bind evil and loose good. Hallelujah. And God gave us the authority when he went back to heaven. Hallelujah. And here he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Hallelujah. So this world, you know, sometimes we set back, well, we're waiting on you, God. And God's saying, I'm waiting on my church to do what I gave him to do. Use the authority that I gave him to use. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When we make a request in Jesus' name, first we have to use the authority of that name to bind Satan's influence in the situation. You know, if we see the devil in control of a situation, we say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the power of Satan at work in this situation. And there's power in that, because there's power in the name of Jesus, and heaven backs us up. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not move in any situation unless one of his children asks him. He designed it that way. We're going to end talking about how powerful worship is and how worship's a mighty weapon against the enemy. Psalms 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Hebrews 4 tells us that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's important that we live in an attitude of praise and worship. And even there's a battle praise. There's a praise that comes forth with force that just sends the enemy packing. And then the two-edged sword is the word of God. And when we speak forth the word, there's power in it. There's power when we speak God's word. Hallelujah. And so as the blood-bought church, the redeemed. We have the power of the praise of God in our mouth. We have the word of God in our hand that we use and speak to defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. We're going to read this whole chapter, Psalms 149, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Hallelujah. We want to be praising God to the point where, you know, we just break out in spontaneous dance before the Lord. We're too dignified. We're too, you know, we just need to break through into the Spirit. Hallelujah. Break through in dance. Break through in praise. You know, don't just praise because someone says, let it praise, praise, praise until it flows out of your spirit. And you can't stop it. It just flows like a river, the praises of God. And as you praise the Lord, hallelujah, the enemy's backing down. He's backing off. He doesn't want to be where people are freeing God and praising God. Hallelujah. Praise is a powerful weapon. Use the word of God. Go with your Bible, speaking the word of God, talking to the Lord. Whatever you're going through, find a scripture for that in the word and then read it out loud and read it out loud and read it out loud and declare it. Hallelujah. They're powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people and he will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Hallelujah. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Well, in Ephesians 6:12, we said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Hallelujah. So our fight now isn't with people, but it's with the evil spirit that's hindering people and holding them back. Hallelujah. And it's time. God wants a passionate people. He wants a people passionate about prayer and worshiping him. Hallelujah. Worshiping the Lord with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and raise our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift up your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Father, I pray that you will fill this congregation with songs of praise, with a bubbling out of their spirit of the praises of the Lord. Lord, oh, Father, give us a passion for prayer where we just want to pray and we want to pray and we want to pray. And when we meet one another, prayer is so in our heart that we just ended up praying together. Father, I thank you for breaking out spontaneous prayer meetings among us everywhere we go. Father, we ask for the power. We ask for the power of praise to rise in our hearts. Hallelujah, manahayo. And the Lord says, you've planted seeds, you've planted seeds, you've planted seeds in your prayer. You've planted seeds, and there is a crop of prayer planted for a harvest of souls. And the Lord says, stay alert, stay aware right now. Pray, pray, pray. Now's not the time to set back. Now's not the time to get comfortable. It's the time to watch over those crops, to watch over those crops, to watch over that harvest, that the harvest will come in. The Lord says, wake up, wake up, wake up. Cast off the fogginess, cast off. Oh, the so-so, Hanamohane. Wake up, wake up, wake up, Zion, and trim your lamps. Wake up, Zion, and fill your lamps with oil. Trim back your lamps. Oh, for it's the time to be alert and watching. Oh, Rayashi, Father. I talked about when you're facing an enemy that's bigger than you and you haven't gotten victory, call for reinforcements. If there's anything in your life where you just need help breaking through that thing, oh, hallelujah, we'd love to pray for you and help break you into that victory that God has for you. While Peter's worshiping,